lots of fresh greens that are available this spring. So we hope you'll come on down to 7th and Merchant from 8:30 to 10:30. This is Tricia Fullerton with the Emporia Farmers Market.
All the latest sports news and reviews, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE, live and local.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongPineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Tim Miller on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday. And unlike some previous Saturdays, there's not a whole lot going on in Emporia sports-wise this weekend. In fact, as far as I know, there is nothing sports-wise as far as high school and college is concerned, because we're down to for the high school sports, for tennis, it's state, and for some of the other sports, it's regionals. Next week is state for swimming, and there's for Emporia State, track and field is the only teams that are still competing, and they've got about 8 or 10 athletes that are up in Kearney, Nebraska for a last chance qualifier, trying to earn a trip to the national track and field meet. And we're getting down to the end. It's also the exciting part of the spring season. This is the championship part, where at the high school level, you're trying to earn a trip to state, and you're trying to earn some great accomplishments. And we'll talk about some of the track meets that took place, league track meets that took place Thursday and yesterday. And now everybody's gearing up for regionals as far as track is concerned. Baseball and softball will receive their regional pairings today for the upper classifications. I think some of the lower classifications already had their regionals put together. And now next week, it's a trying to earn trips to state. And speaking of trips to state, the Emporia High girls swim team will be preparing for state, and we're joined now by Emporia High girls swim coach Jamie Dawson. And coach, you get to take some swimmers to state again this year. Are you hearing us okay, coach?
I got you. Yep, I've got you. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're good. We're good. Hey, as I just mentioned, you knew you were going to be taking some divers to state next week. All three divers have earned a trip to state. But on Thursday, the Centennial League swim meet, the 200-meter free relay or 200-yard free relay qualified for state with an automatic time. Boy, that had to be exciting.
Oh, yeah, this has been something that, you know, not just this year, some of our upperclassmen, you know, Brooklyn Wilts and Allison Brown, they have been trying to get this for a couple of years now, to know that there's no stress of waiting for the list to come out. You just know that you're going. And so for them to get that and get it with a pretty, you know, a pretty major time drop, I think they were almost a second under the required time, to know they're going, it was a good feeling. It was a lot of stress, I think, removed from them for the rest of the meet as well.
And you're pretty close on a couple of other swimming events, aren't you?
We do. So that one we know for sure is going. The same four, so Brooklyn Wilt, Allison Brown, Ariana Hamilton, and Ryan Peak will also hopefully get in the 400 free relay. They cut 6 seconds. They're, you know, about middle of the time frames right there. So hopefully we can get that one in when the state goes in and fills in time. Anna Chapman, who is brand new to swimming this year, comes in and swims arguably one of the hardest strokes, swims the 100 breaststroke, and we've been trying to get her qualified all year. And she's just about a second off of the auto time. So we're hoping she might sneak in as well. And then Ryan Peak and Brooklyn both got the 100 free time, and then Brooklyn's also trying to get on the 50. Those ones are quite a bit harder because they're sprint races. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen when it comes down to, you know, who's going to swim what and what openings there will be and who will kind of sneak in with those consideration times.
And when it comes to consideration times, does the state kind of look at, okay, who's already at state and competing that we might be able to fill some spots, or do they just go strictly by the times that have been sent in?
Yeah, strictly by times that have been sent in. So they will take every automatic qualifier, which is nice. You know, the last couple of years with COVID protocols, they had limited it to 24. So, you know, if there was 27 or 30 girls that had swum the automatic time, they were only taking 24. So this year we're back open to anyone that's qualified gets in. But what they do after that is they'll go in and fill any open lanes. So if there's two extra spots, they'll take the next two fastest times in the state. So it really is kind of a gamble. You know, there are girls who have qualified automatically in every event, and you never know what they're going to swim until we get the initial coaches sheet that kind of shows where everyone's at. So there is a lot of gambling that kind of goes into, you know, where do you put somebody? What do you pick over the other if you've got a kid like that who's got multiple auto times in there? So we'll know for sure on Tuesday who's definitely in and you know who missed it, but we'll take them all with us so that way they can experience state.
I know the state puts out a top 25 list every week as to who's where and who's, you know, where everybody's standing. Can you kind of get an idea of where maybe your swimmers stand going into there, or is it too much guesswork?
Well, you know, the next couple of days, you know, we run our league on Thursday. There's a bunch of leagues that took place last night. There's a bunch of them that take place today. So there is a lot of moving parts right now. But like the 200 free relay, we had, you know, we'd been sitting about the 24th, 25th spot. We had fallen off the top 25 list as of the last 2 weeks. But when I looked at, you know, the time they swam Thursday night, put them 13th in the state. Which, you know, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to be said about the physical competition, but so much of it is mental. And I went in and told those girls, I said, girls, you're sitting 13th right now. Like, we could go back on Saturday, and they are pumped up. This group of four is, they are competitors to the core. They want to keep swimming. And there's a lot to be said about that. They want to go back on Saturday with those divers. We haven't had a swimmer go back on the girls' side on a Saturday since Jaden Silva, and she's graduated college. So it's something that they're really excited about, and our divers, you know, keep kind of encouraging them, like, hey, we want you to come back with us on Saturday to swim in finals. So, you know, we know there'll be some movement in there, but to be sitting, you know, in a position where you might get a second swim, and we haven't tapered yet. We haven't gone through that. I kind of took a gamble with this group, knowing how much they want to win, that they wouldn't need that. And that's huge for us. We normally have to go through a full taper, which is bringing them down, resting everything, working on recovery, and we haven't done that yet. So that's all we're going to do this week, and that'll help them cut even more time in the long run.
Now let's go back to to Thursday in the Centennial League swim meet, and you finish in fourth place. You don't do the taper, and you come away with some really impressive swims. And the email that you sent out, you said this is maybe one of the more impressive league swim performances from Emporia High Girls Swim Team that you've had in a long time.
Yeah, these. You know, we didn't have, last year we lost a lot of seniors. And they were point scorers, they were state competitors. We come into this season and we had a lot of holes to fill. We had a lot that we had to figure out. And we had girls that brand new to the sport that came and stepped up. You know, you've got Anna Chapman who comes in and takes fourth at league. Those are huge points for us. Ryan Peake, first year swimming, she made, I think it was second team all league by scoring points. So we just have had a lot of girls that have come in and stepped up. We didn't win an event, but going in and taking, you know, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth spots in almost every event gets us enough points to where, you know, we were only 6 points out of third place, which was Seaman. And Seaman is a powerhouse in all athletics. So they just, you know, they've really listened to all the things that we've told them to do to fix, little things that are going to help them cut time more than any group we've really had in the last few years. And they're a good team. They know that, you know, like my girls that are on that relay, they know this is Brooklyn's last chance. they knew that Brooklyn hadn't been to state yet and that this was the only shot she was going to get, and they wanted it more for Brooklyn than they wanted it for themselves. And that's, you know, when you see that kind of camaraderie come together, you know, we didn't get season bests on Thursday. We got lifetime bests from every single girl that went out there, and that's huge.
And that's what I was just going to bring up next, is that you look at it, and that's, for me as a reporter, somebody who covers high school athletics and college athletics, sports like track and swimming, where there are multiple ways you can have success. One of them is a team, one of them is individual, and when it comes to the individual, you can have success by winning races, but you can also have success by swimming personal best times. And you had a bunch of successful swims on Thursday because you had a lot of personal best times.
Yeah, and they weren't, you know, sometimes you get a personal best and you see, you know, in the 53, for example, you see, you know, a girl come in and in a sprint race, it's hard. You might see him drop, you know, a couple hundredths or a tenth. And we had, I mean, almost second drops, you know, in the sprint relay where we're dropping almost 4 seconds, they were huge drops. And we saw that across the board. And, you know, that gets them all very fired up. You know, when they go out and swim well, you know, the mental component picks in, like, man, I'm doing good today. And it just keeps, you know, it's kind of a domino effect. They see their teammates doing great. They get excited for that. And then they go out and swim their best time as well. And that's really kind of been how this group has operated all year long. They just feed off of each other. And luckily it's positive. You know, we don't have the drama or anything like that you see sometimes that pops up. They just feed off each other's positive energy.
And I know, as this coach, you would like to have seen maybe some of this start happening earlier in the season to maybe help motivate them. But, you know, sometimes you have to build. It takes stair steps, and you have to build on things. And that's what this team has done, is they've built on successes as the season's gone along. And I'm so excited for, you know, well, you look at Brooklyn Wiltz. She places third in the 100 free, but has a personal best time, a consideration time for state. She cut time in the 50 free, even though she finished fourth. And Anna Chapman, as you mentioned, a senior, but first time out swimming. She finishes fourth in the breaststroke and just misses automatically qualifying for state by a second. And from a coach's standpoint, it's great to have some of these first-time seniors out and seeing them have the success, but you're probably asking them, why didn't you come out sooner?
Yeah. Oh, I ask them that every day, and they're like, we know. You know, I've had that from, you know, we had the same thing during boys season. I think we came in this year with three seniors that returned, and we had Cadence, Faith, and Brooklyn, and we ended up with eight. And that, you know, that's one thing every one of them have said, you know, this, man, I wish I would have swam more years. You know, it's swimming is one of those that, you know, it's there. You know, it's a great activity for lifetime health. And I think that people are starting to pick up on that at Emporia. I think we're starting to get kids that are realizing that, man, I can go and have successes in something that I've never done before. You know, we took every single senior to league this year, and every single one of them scored points. I'm pretty sure that every single one of our seniors also lettered this year. So we had five kids that come in that have never swam, and they lettered it. They lettered in a varsity sport and helped us get some points all season long. And that's, you know, that's huge as a coach, and it inspires a lot of the younger ones. You know, we're starting to see more kids who are showing interest because they've seen what's happened this year with those athletes that are just coming in. So it's, you know, it's great for a program, which, you know, we hope it keeps building. We hope everyone comes and swims. I would love to have so many kids that we have to make, you know, we have to make our meet list bigger because we've got to go to more meets to get everybody to swim. That would be awesome.
And then the other exciting part is you had some first time swimmers that are going to be coming back for a couple of years, like Ryan Peake.
Yeah. I keep telling Ryan every day, like, I'm like, you don't even know what, like, you, the next 2 years, you know, I'm excited to see where this group goes. You know, last year we lost Emily Leasing on the relay, and as a coach, as soon as that last meet is over, you start brainstorming, who am I going to put in this spot? You know, who am I going to fill this with? And that was a huge stress that I had going into this year, was we didn't have anybody at that moment who was going to step up. You know, we didn't have anyone that was quite to where all those girls were last year. And having Ryan come in, it was immediately, she was there. She was filling the spot, and, you know, filling the spot faster than what we'd had last year. So that is, you know, someone like her that comes in that doesn't know anything, she just keeps getting better. And she's gotten the point, you know, she swam butterfly for us this year. She didn't really love it, but she swam it and was one of our best butterflyers that swam. She can swim any freestyle event. So she's kind of one of those athletes that, you know, in any situation, you're going to be able to drop her in something and score a lot of points. And that's a huge relief when it comes to filling meets. So she's just going to keep getting better, and I think she's going to impress herself in the next year or two as to what she actually can end up doing.
Who are some of the other underclassmen that have kind of impressed you this season and have said, you know, Coach, I'm putting myself in a position I want to be, as my career goes along, be one of the swimmers you count on to earn points?
Yeah, we've got Brooke Monroe, who's a freshman, stepped up this year, first year out for swimming. She's going with us as an alternate. You know, we want him to see state. We want him to see what's there. We want him to get excited about it. And right now, she's one of our potentials next year. You know, Brooklyn's got big shoes to fill. And so someone's going to have to step in there and be able to, you know, to sprint like she did, but also earn us a lot of points in individual events. And Brooke's kind of that one that, you know, we see her work ethic, and we see that she wants to be there. You know, we've got some of those, Taylor Cunningham. Taylor Cunningham is the most excited child about swimming that I think I've seen in a few years. She wants to be at the pool. She's never swam before. Wants to be there. And I, you know, we sent out summer stuff, and I think within a minute of me sending it to all of them, she had already signed herself up. She's ready to go. And that kind of attitude will pay out for her in the long run. So she's one that I think is coming up. You know, we've got some more that are interested in coming in. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get with a new freshman class. Every time they come in, there's always kids that show up that you didn't even know had any interest in swimming, or they're just trying it out for the first time. And I think we've got a lot of interest from younger kids who want to get into the sport. You know, we've been at a disadvantage a little bit. We haven't had the ability to have a club. You know, when COVID happened and it shut all the facilities down, we've been operating solely on what can we accomplish in 3 months during high school season. And, you know, the aquatic club is getting ready to get started back up again, which will help us in the long run. But these girls have been doing this with no outside practice time. They came in February. They got started. I mean, this is solely what they've done just in this season. We haven't had an off season. We haven't had an off season for 2 years. And so things are just, you know, things are going to start to get better and better, if they just keep sticking with it.
And to add to that is, you didn't have a pool in your school to practice in until you started the girls' season, really.
Yeah, well, and so we, with the renovations, we actually gave up the pool about 3 weeks before girls' season was over last year. So we haven't had a full season in that pool for over a year, and so that has been nice as well. I mean, you know, it's been nice during boys. We were all at different places. We didn't have the bond. You know, Braxton kind of got the short end of the stick having to go to Topeka because he didn't get the bond with the boys. He didn't get to be around them. And we've got a lot more of that now this year. You know, at the end of girls season last year when we had to kind of split up, it's hard when you go into a championship season to not have that connection. And this year we had the buy-in. Divers always start us off. They always score us a ton of points, and these girls wanted to come in this year and back those divers up. And we just haven't had the ability to have that because we haven't all been in one spot. So it's been kind of fun to see how they've cheered each other on. You know, they're telling each other good luck. They want each other to do well, and so that team aspect of it has been really nice this year.
Well, before we do let you go, we can't let go by, and I know Barb Clark is the dives coach, but you have three divers that are going to be going to state.
Yeah.
Cadence Vincent, along with J.C. Stetler and Divinity Gardner. And, you know, we talked about the success that your swimmers had, but I think all three of them had a personal best 11 dive scores on Thursday. So they're going into state with some confidence.
They are. And that, you know, I mean, Coach Clark is, you know, there better be a Hall of Fame made for just her. Let's just be honest. She is amazing at what she does and you know, building the confidence of those divers. Cadence placed second last year at state. She is currently the top six dive diver. She's been sitting at second in 11 dive, but, you know, she's clicking. Things are starting to come together. And her confidence and her leadership on the board has really helped build and kind of mold JC and Divinity. You know, JC last year didn't make it to state. That was her first year diving, and we took her to state so she could see it. There's something about seeing it. When they go and they see it, then they want to be there. And she said that last year to Barb. She's like, I want to be here next year. Divinity, you know, came in as a freshman. And she's, you know, she's a busy girl. She dances competitively. She's got a lot that's going on, and she's decided that I want to medal at state. There is a definite possibility that all three of them will be on the medal stand come Saturday, and that's awesome. You know, that program has always been strong. And hopefully Barb will get to add another state champion banner to the wall of banners that we've got, because she's, you know, she molds those girls, and they are performing right now unlike they performed all year. And it's nice that everyone's clicking at the same time, that we're all hitting the PRs and the lifetime bests at the right time. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. It has to be exciting from a coach's standpoint to see the progression that the swimmers and the divers have made throughout the season. You always want them to be swimming at their best, and that's the one thing I like to ask athletes at this time of the year. Do you feel like you're peaking? Do you feel like you're performing at your best? And most of the times they say, yeah, things are starting to really fall together into place. All that hard work, all that time is finally – things are starting to fall into place. I'm sure there were times during the season where they were wondering, will this ever, you know, happen for me? But sometimes you just have to be patient and let the process go through.
Yeah, and I always tell them, the pain hurts now, but the pain doesn't hurt when you're swimming on Saturday at state. And so they've kind of adopted that. You know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt now, and, you know, I'm going to be sore and tired when I get done swimming. But there is nothing like touching that wall and looking up and seeing that you've, you know, hit the time you wanted or completely obliterated your previous time. And that's kind of where we're at. They are getting it done, and next week's going to be exciting.
Well, Coach Dawson, thanks for taking time out on this Saturday and visiting with us and bringing us up to speed on the Emporia High Girls Swim Team. Good luck next week at state to those that qualify, and hopefully you'll be able to take a few more than just the 200 free relay and get in a couple of swimmers on consideration times. And, of course, the three divers will be at state. For those who might be interested, where's state this year, and when does all the competition get underway?
Yeah, so we are at girls this year is at the Shawnee Mission School District Aquatic Center up in Lenexa. Thursday we start dive prelim, so they'll do their first eight dives on Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Friday is swim prelim, so we'll swim all of our events Friday starting at 9 o'clock, and then Saturday will be finals starting at 9 o'clock as well. So a lot of opportunity if people want to come and watch it. I know just from the feedback we've gotten so far, we should have a loud cheering section, which will be awesome. So,
Well, congratulations on the success this team has started to have, and we wish the swimmers and the divers good luck at state.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks.
That is Jamie Dawson. She is the head swim coach at Emporia High School for both girls and boys. And, of course, Emporia High will be sending three divers to state, Cadence Vincent, J.C. Stetler, and Divinity Gardner, along with the 200 free relay of Ryan Peak, Brooklyn Wiltz, Allison Brown, and Ariana Hamilton. They've automatically qualified for state, and hopefully they can add a couple of consideration time swimmers as well. We'll find that out on Tuesday, who all gets to go to state, but definitely wish those seven good luck at state next week. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll visit with Emporia High boys golf coach Rick Eckert. Right after this timeout, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongpineAuto.com.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 14 KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. And we're joined now by Emporia High golf coach Rick Eckert. Good morning, coach.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Doing good. So do you have a practice round for regionals online for your guys, or just going to show up on Monday and say good luck?
No, this is a course that we don't get to see during the course of the season. Actually, some of these boys, I don't think, have ever seen it. So, we are going to be heading down for a practice round tomorrow afternoon to get a look at what we're going to be facing and hopefully get us set for Monday.
Well, Monday will be regionals, and, of course, the goal is to qualify one as an individual, or maybe I should say one as a team and then as an individual, if not as a team. But you're taking a group of five golfers to regionals that should give you a good shot at earning a trip to state as a team.
Yeah, I think this year we are in a position where we are probably about as ready as we have been in several years. And it's a good group of kids. They've worked really hard, and they're anxious to get down there and demonstrate what they can do.
So who will you be taking to regionals on Monday?
We're going to have Brooke Souter in the number one spot. He's been our leader throughout the course of the year. He's had a really solid season. Then we will have Caden Massey, who has really played well this season. He's kind of turned it on in the second half of the year and really done well, led us in some tournaments. Nolan Jacob, one of our freshmen coming in, who's had a really solid season for us. And then Hudson Souter, who had really fast start and has been pretty solid throughout the remainder of the season. And then the final spot will be Will Walker, who is another freshman. So that's what's amazing about this group. We're very young, would be a pleasant way to put it, with three freshmen heading down and then senior and a junior. So good group of kids, and looking forward to see what happens.
Now, we talked at the beginning of the season, and you were excited because you had a lot of guys and players that were out and players who have come up through the youth program that Marcus Circle has going on out at the Emporia Golf Course, and that's really starting to pay off. And you've had some younger golfers who in some previous years probably would have been on that regional team, but you just have so many good golfers right at the top.
Yeah, we're in such a good situation right now. Marcus does a fantastic job at the municipal, working with the kids. The number of young kids that he's got out there during the course of the summer is just fantastic. It's great to see kids getting that involved in golf. And we're now finally starting to see all of those kids come through the system. And, we had 8 freshmen coming into this year, which is fantastic. And, we had some that were really, they were solid players. They play a lot in the summer. We had others who don't have that opportunity, but, man, they came out and they worked really hard. And they have made a lot of progress during the course of this season.
Well, looking at this season, with golf, it's kind of the same way with some of the like track and swimming. You can have the team results, you can have the individual results, and there might be days where you may finish high and didn't play so well, but there are other days where you maybe have played well and didn't finish as high. And I know every time out you're not going to shoot your season best score, but the thing that's impressed me about this group of golfers is that you mentioned, Brooks Sauter and Cade Massey have been the two who have been at the top, but when you start looking at the golfers who finished third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth, and sometimes you had enough where you could take 7 golfers, that list has been kind of fluid throughout the season.
Yeah, and it's a great position to be in where you can rotate and move guys around and just it's kind of like going to Vegas. You roll the dice and you hope things come up well. But the nice thing is we got 3-4 sets of dice we can roll, so we've got better odds than anybody of making something good happen just because we've got so many kids that have made so much progress, and they've done so well throughout the course of the year that sometimes somebody has a little bit of a slip up, they falter just a little bit, but somebody else is always there to pick up the slack for them.
So what does your regional look like? Who are going to be the teams to beat besides your squad?
Right now it looks like the groups that we're going to be playing with, that they have us paired with on Monday, are going to be the ones that we're going to have to be most concerned with, which is nice because we're going to be face-to-face with the people that we've got to take. You got Salina South, who beat us earlier this year by a couple of shots at a tournament. Then we've got Hayes High School. Valley Center is also going to be in this. We haven't seen them much, but they are supposed to have a fairly decent team this year. So those are the ones that we're going to be most concerned with. The good news is, we've basically beaten all the teams that we're going to be facing on Monday. It's just a matter of going out and executing on a course that we haven't seen before.
And I'm guessing that most of those teams probably haven't seen this course either.
Yeah, about the only team that's had any regular experience on it's going to be Mays High School, because it's only a couple of miles from their school, so they get to practice on it sometimes. Not very often, but sometimes. But, yeah, they will have a little bit of a leg up. They don't have a deep team. They are looking at primarily qualifying 1, maybe 2 individuals. They've got a number one kid who's really strong, and then their number two is not too bad, but they drop off a little bit after that. But, yeah, they're looking at this as an opportunity to make sure those two kids get to state.
So which course will you be playing regionals at?
Regionals will be at Reflection Ridge, which is clear out in the northwest part of Wichita. Beautiful course. I've been telling the boys, I said, there's houses and businesses on each side. There's out of bounds down basically every hole on one or both sides. It is an area that has been developed residentially all the way around the golf course. But it's a fun course. It's a target golf course, which is something that we don't see very often. Most of our courses are just bomb it, go get it and hit it again. This is one where you really have to use a little bit of strategy to get around it successfully.
Does that kind of favor any one of your golfers? Or
it's interesting that you say that because, honestly, looking at the yardage, it's not an overpoweringly long course. I was telling the boys yesterday, I said the one person who surprisingly might have a little bit of an advantage on this is going to be Hudson Sauter. He's not our longest hitter, but but he's going to be one of those people that's going to be able to get the driver in his hand a little bit more often, and he hits his driver well, but his distances that he hits is going to put him right in the target zones. The other guys are going to have to pull back on their clubs, hit a little bit less, mix things up a little bit. Hudson's going to be able to go out there and really methodically go through this course, swinging the clubs he's used to swinging.
You know, we're talking about the young golfers that you have, and the thing that's that has me kind of excited is it's not just a couple freshmen who have come out for the golf team and they're just having some success. As you mentioned, they've been a part of the Marcus Urkel Golf Academy, if I want to call it that. I'm not his program, but these are guys that have also played some competitive golf during the summers before they even started playing high school golf.
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes the difference with the kids, is the more that you play in the summertime, the more competitive the environment, the better golfer you're going to become. And yeah, these are some kids that have committed some time, a lot of effort, and unfortunately a lot of money to be able to do that. But the thing is, everything that they have put into it, they're now starting to reap the dividends of that. So hopefully that's, you know, a trend that we're going to see continue with a lot of the other kids also.
So as you put it down on paper, what does it look like? You feel confident about this team getting qualified?
Honestly, if you go strictly by the numbers, absolutely. Yeah, if you break the numbers down for all the teams in our regional, I mean, our top five players are all in the top 17 positions in the regional as far as scoring averages for the season. But, you know, golf is one of those games that you just never know. I mean, sometimes you're hot, sometimes you get a little bit cold, and you're not quite sure where the ball's going. So you got to go out there, you got to concentrate, and you got to make something happen instead of waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, and with the game of golf, every day on the same course can be a different day. The pin placement, the weather conditions, every day can be a little different. And if you pay any attention to the pros, every time out can be a new adventure.
Yeah, and Monday's not going to be any different, because, you know, again, we're going to be facing a little bit of heat and humidity. The forecast I saw last night indicated some chance of storms in the afternoon or evening. We should be done by then. But the biggest thing that I saw is going to be the wind. And, you know, many of the courses that we have here in Kansas, that we play in Kansas, they are designed to play a specific way in the wind, and Reflection Ridge is no different. If the wind is up hard out of the south, it is really going to make that a challenging golf course.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a good season so far, and hopefully the guys can close it out and make it a great season.
Thanks. Yeah, I am so proud of the way that these guys have played all year, the way that they have conducted themselves, and I hope that the reward is there for them at the end, because, man, they've put in the time, the effort, and they're good kids, and I really enjoy being around them, and really looking forward to seeing how successful we can be on Monday.
Well, good luck on Monday, more so to the players than to you, because there's not much you can do.
Yeah, I'm going to be there trying to guide them, but, yep, they're the ones that got to swing the sticks and get the job done.
Well, thanks for being on with us this morning, and, again, good luck to the golfers on Monday.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
That's Emporia High golf coach Rick Eckert. Again, the boys golf team will be going to playing in a regional tournament at Reflection Ridge in Wichita and trying to earn a trip to state. And we wish those five golfers good luck on Monday. We'll take our final break. We'll be back with a closing segment right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbyneauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Rand Hopkins of Complete Works Custom Engraving. Remember getting your first trophy, ribbon, or plaque? Recognition can change lives and improve performance. Becoming a part of the team is a process, and a recognition program that is not only fair and consistent, but also affordable, can help someone be the team player that you need. Come learn the value of recognition. For the largest selection of affordable awards and trophies, come visit Complete Works Custom Engraving at 610 Commercial.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 14 KVOE.
Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller. And before we go any further, before I forget, we need to select our Complete Works Athletes of the Week. And there have been a number of outstanding performances, both from Emporia High. We heard from Emporia High swim coach Jamie Dawson and all the performances that the Lady Spartans had with personal best times and some of those performances. And also, as far as area goes, some athletes had some really good performances in league track meets. Yesterday at the Lyon County League track meet, there were five new league meet records set, and two of them set by Casey Helm, but we selected him a couple weeks ago, and there have been a couple of other athletes that had some outstanding performances. But we're going track and field today for both Emporia High and for the area athletes. For Emporia High, I'm going to go with Kyle Obermeyer from the track team. He finished second in the 110 hurdles and third in the 300 hurdles. But again, it's not the place, it's the time, and he had personal best times in both of those races. And talking to him after those races, he goes, I hadn't been making a lot of progress. Finally, I had some PRs, finally got things going. He's feeling really confident going into regionals, which will be next Friday. Of course, the goal there is to earn that trip to Wichita in the state track meet. But Kyle Obermeyer of the Emporia High boys track team is our Emporia High Athlete of the Week, and our Area Athlete of the Week going to the Lyon County League track meet, going with Olpe's Josie O'Rear, who picked up four gold medals yesterday. She was one of a couple of athletes that had four gold medals, but she won the 100, 200, was part of the 4x100 relay and part of the triple jump. And Matthew Heckman of Burlingame won the 400 meter dash, also the high jump, setting a meet record in that event, and also was part of the 4x100 and 4x400 relays that finished in first place. But Josie O'Rear of Olpe will be our Area Complete Works Athlete of the Week. And congratulations to all the athletes who had great league track meets. Emporia High did not have any first-place finishes, but had seven top three finishes. Dagan True second in the 3,200-meter run as a freshman. That's kind of impressive. Fred Jackson finished second in the 400-meter dash. Hattie Cooper finished second in the 300 hurdles. Kalia Kiyusi Boong Hong placed third in the pole vault, and also the girls 4x800 relay team also finished in third place at the Centennial League. And as we mentioned, Lyon County League track meet was held yesterday. Mentioned five league meet records set there. We mentioned Matthew Hines setting a league record in the high jump. His teammate on the girls' side, Daylon Winters, who's having a tremendous senior year. Volleyball, basketball, now playing softball and also running track her senior year. She's having a great senior year. She set a league meet record in the girls' high jump. And we mentioned Casey Helm of Madison, who set league meet records in both the discus and the shot put yesterday. So he had two of them. So congratulations to the five league meet records. Also setting a league meet record in the girls' javelin. Brooklyn Jones of Lebo set the girls' javelin record for a league meet. So congratulations to them for setting the league meets, and Label girls and Madison boys winning the team championships. And Flint Hills League held their championships yesterday. Osage City boys and West Franklin girls won the team championships. And congratulations to all the individual champions, and we'll have a list of all the individual champions for both the Lyon County and Flint Hills League up here before the morning's out, and we'll talk about that. One thing I did want to touch on, and we're running out of time, but we'll go over a little bit on this Saturday morning. You're listening to
We never do that, Greg.
We're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE Emporia, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. But this past week, NFL releases the Chiefs and the NFL schedule, and the Chiefs have a very, very challenging first 8 weeks of the season. I saw one place where they said the Chiefs have the toughest first eight game stretch ever in NFL history.
Yeah, all eight teams with winning records from the previous year. And you look over the course of their 17 games, and 12 of those will be against teams that had winning seasons a year ago. Of course, the AFC West, my goodness, I mean, the talent, the influx of talent into that division has been incredible. And what a wild race that's going to be. You know, Chiefs obviously there. The Chargers are going to be really good. Denver greatly improved, and the Raiders certainly have bettered their talent. So it's going to be a wild race in the AFC West. I think you can make a pretty good case that certainly it's the best division in football potentially. Chiefs will have their hands full, especially those first 8 weeks.
Yeah, they'll be going after their seventh consecutive AFC West title, and this will be the most challenging season for them to try to accomplish that. If they accomplish that, they will have accomplished something pretty impressive. Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people talk about, yes, Denver's improved. Yes, the Chargers have improved themselves. They're better. They've been good, and the Raiders have improved themselves. And the thing is, the Chiefs didn't have a whole lot of room where they really needed to improve. Unfortunately, they did trade away Tyreek Hill, which is one of their big offensive weapons. And you don't necessarily replace him. You just find different ways of doing things. And hopefully the players that the Chiefs have brought in, because we had Mitch Holthus on last week, and the draft that the Chiefs had and the free agent signings that they've added could make them a better football team overall.
Yeah, I think they did a great job at filling some holes. I think Mitch mentioned the fact they're still just a little thin maybe along the D-line. But, you know, it's funny. It's certainly not going to be a team that's going to fly under the radar, but if you look nationally, there's not very many people picking them to be in the Super Bowl this year. Now, granted, I guess, you know, when you've been there, two of the last three seasons, and certainly many thought they would be there again this last year before they were upset by Cincinnati. But, you know, of course, the Bills getting a lot of love in the AFC for this upcoming season. And the AFC West, the Chargers seem to be one of the favorites. So, but I think Chiefs are going to be really good. And when you have number 15 leading the way, you're going to be right there.
You're going to win some games. Five times they'll be play in primetime games, beginning with the first Thursday night game, September the 15th, on Amazon Prime Video.
Well, that may be one I miss, Greg.
Well, hopefully whichever Kansas City station is allowed to carry it, I won't be able to, because I don't get the Kansas City stations. But for what it's the one thing I can guarantee, you'll be able to hear it on
absolutely
on Country 101.7.
I was just going to say, you can definitely pick it up right here.
And then the Chiefs also have a Sunday night game against Tampa Bay at Tampa Bay, October the 2nd, and then they take on the Raiders in a Monday night showdown on October the 10th. That's in Kansas City. Then right after that, they host the Buffalo Bills, but that's not a primetime game. That's really
how can you not have the Chiefs-Bills as a primetime game? It defies all logic.
Yeah, and then they'll close out before they get their bye. They go to San Francisco to face the 49ers, and that's not a primetime game. Coming off of the bye week, they'll host the Tennessee Titans in a Sunday night game on November the 6th. And then they'll host the Rams on the 27th. That's not a primetime game. But they do have a couple, you know, they have some opportunities for people to watch the Chiefs in primetime, five primetime games. So they're getting some love.
Yeah, well, and the good news, I mean, if they can get through those first 8 weeks, the schedule does soften up a little bit in the second half, where you'll see teams like Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston. So it does get a little bit easier as you get to the second half of the season.
But when you look at the month of December, three straight road games, and then they'll play, I think it was five of their last eight games on the road, so the second half of the season is going to be spent on the road for the Chiefs.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess you got to go on the road at some point, but it'd be nice to be spread out a little bit and maybe have a – where you don't have them so bunched up at any point of the season. Of course – you know as well as I do that I know people seem to think right now, oh boy, football, that's a ways down the road. It really is not. We're a few months away from getting camps going, and it'll be here.
Yeah, Chiefs will start their phase three of their off-season programs the 25th of May, and that's when teams can come. The players can come in. They can have 7-7, 9-on-9, 11-on-11. No real big contact, but the team can be in and they can be working against each other and non-contact drills, so to speak. And there's not a lot of contact that goes on during the season anyway. Before we do scoot out of here, I wish the Royals decide what kind of team they're going to be.
Well, you know, of course, the good news is offensively they needed a stop in Colorado, maybe to get some bats going. Of course, that's obviously a great place to go hit. And the Royals offensively have been so anemic for the better part of the year, but my goodness, 14 runs. I mean, that's
18
hits.
That's
darn near a week's worth.
That's more than they probably scored the first.
I mean, my goodness. So, yeah, it's obviously good to go get a win. This obviously, I mean, there's no question. I mean, this is a team that has really struggled offensively throughout the better course of the year. You know, of course, the pitching wasn't great yesterday, but for the most part, the pitching hasn't been all that bad. My God, they just can't hit. At least that's been the trend so far through almost, first 30 games of the year.
And hopefully this primes the pump, so to speak, offensively and gets the offense headed in the right direction. And then the pitching continues to go well. And Zach Greinke had a less than Zach type of effort last night, even though he kept the team in the ball game. And really, that's all you're asking of your pitching staff. Keep us in the ball game. Give us a chance, and hopefully the offense can start making those chances pay off a little bit more as the season goes along. They have Colorado tonight and tomorrow afternoon, and then they'll be at home for a series with the Chicago White Sox that includes a doubleheader on Tuesday. So hopefully the Royals can start making some ground and pick up some momentum as they get ready and head into the month of June and just really start putting things together there. Now, 11-19, so they're eight games under 500. Not the greatest situation to be in, but it's not a situation that they can't overcome with a couple of winning streaks to get them back above 500.
Well, they're going to need them, obviously.
Yes, they will.
And certainly heading back home, and then you have to play the White Sox. I don't know. It's obviously it's a team that's still in the process of in a rebuild. I know some fans are probably getting a little impatient because this is what year five of a rebuild, and they pretty simple. They need to start scoring some runs and do it more frequently than once every about 6-7 games.
Yes, and hopefully they can do that again. First pitch tonight, 7:10 from Colorado. 6:30 with our pregame coverage here on KVOE. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning Sports Talk. Thanks to Jamie Dawson, the swim coach for Emporia High, for joining us this morning, and Emporia High golf coach Rick Eckert for joining us this morning. Again, thanks to Tim Miller. We'll be back next Saturday with our also congratulations to our Complete Works Athletes of the Week for Emporia High, Kyle Obermeyer, and for our area, Josie O'Rear of Volpe. Congratulations to them as well. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition of Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com.
96.9 FM.